As long as we've got up into the issue of pulmonary hemorrhage, I'm curious what your take or hypothesis is in terms of the etiology of this with bevacizumab.
Well, boy, that's anyone's guess. I think obviously the simple explanation is that this agent has a very powerful and profound effect on the vasculature within tumors, and that at least in the lung parenchyma, because of the very limited stromal support to those blood vessels, that bleeding can occur. I think that this is a major problem with bevacizumab and with all of the antiangiogenic drugs in lung cancer. It's confined to a very limited small patient population, but unfortunately occurs in patients who are major responders. I had a patient at my institution several months ago who I treated with two cycles of carboplatin, paclitaxel, and bevacizumab, who had a dramatic response. This was a patient with adenocarcinoma, no brain metastases, an MRI scan, was not on any anticoagulants for deep venous thromboses or cardiovascular disease.
Where was the lesion?
So it was a good candidate. It was a left lower lobe adenocarcinoma. Before we started cycle three, he came in with gross hemoptysis, a tissue box full of bright red blood, and just in the 5 minutes that I saw him, produce half a cup of bright red blood. I took him to the emergency room. He coughed up 2 cups of bright red blood and clearly was about to die. Fortunately, an emergency room physician was available, and we did several things that are important and that I hope to hear confirmation of the usefulness from other individuals around the country. First of all, we put in a double lumen intubation tube. This patient had a left lower lobe tumor. So with one branch of the endotracheal tube with the cuff in that left lower lobe and inflated the cuff in the left mainstem bronchus, what that did is it sealed the left lower lobe of the lung so that any blood would be locked into that left lower lobe. I believe that some of these patients don't die from exsanguination. They die because they drown in their blood. The blood gets into good, healthy lung tissue, and they can't breathe anymore. So this isolated the bleeding source and at least gave us some time. We tried bronchial artery embolization, but could not find a source of the bleeding from that tumor. And then we did something that we had proposed as a technology that could be useful. We did radiofrequency ablation.
Wow.
So we did a transthoracic under CT guidance, passed a probe directly into the tumor. The tip of this probe heats up with radiofrequency waves to about 75, 80 degrees and basically coagulates all of the tissue, all of the blood vessels. It stopped the bleeding instantly in this patient, and we were able to extubate him a few days later without any further bleeding.
Then what happened?
We went on to treat him with carboplatin paclitaxel without bevacizumab. You know, obviously, eventually his disease progressed and he died. But at least it's one anecdotal experience, and I'm hoping that others may have the technology available and are able to turn to it quickly.
That's fascinating. Was he responding?
Oh, he had a dramatic response to the 2 cycles of therapy.
And you knew that before he bled?
Yes.
Was the lesion cavitating?
It was not cavitating.
Getting back to why these bleeds occur, do you think they mainly occur associated with responses?
I believe the bleeds that occur within the first 60 days are primarily associated with major responses.
Is there anything that would trigger you to stop the drug early, like if you started to see cavitation, or is there anything radiologically to look for?
Our database is too small yet for us to be able to make those kinds of decisions. We know that cavitation occurs not infrequently with antiangiogenic agents combined with chemotherapy, antiangiogenic agents alone, and even occurs with chemotherapy. So, you know, the process of cavitation is one of the dynamics of responding to therapy. It's not confined solely to antiangiogenic agents. It may occur more often with antiangiogenic agents, but it's not confined to those.
Let's flip back to 6474. Any other similar agents out there, or other TKIs that are kind of getting close to the clinic or you think maybe hold some promise?
Well, I think sorafenib and sunitinib are the two compounds that are most exciting with respect to lung cancer patients. There is a clinical trial that's ongoing with carboplatin taxol plus or minus sorafenib that we're looking forward to seeing the results. It's a large study. It's a registration trial.
When do you think that'll be complete, or we'll have data from that?
I don't know. I know it's been ongoing at least for a few months, so it's probably going to require at least another year or so to complete accrual and to begin to analyze some of the data.